Good morning, New Eden. Today is October 8th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. My name is Frozen Fallout, and I will be your host today. We also have our co-host, Nightflyer.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
And we have a very, very special guest here. Nem from Boss is here to show us how to be the best that we can possibly be. How's it going, Nem?
Good, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, this is super awesome, dude. We kind of crossed paths. I got introduced through somebody else to you on Discord. I don't think we hanged out a bunch at the Fan Fest, though, if I remember correctly.
No, I don't think so. You talked to one of our Alliance mates, and then that's how we were introduced. But it's next Fan Fest, we'll be sure to have a couple beers together.
Absolutely, absolutely. So thanks for coming on the show, though. This has been really exciting. After coming back from Fan Fest, got a lot of different interviews and stuff. So, but just tell us, who do you fly for, and what are you doing out in the great galaxy of New Eden?
Yeah, so myself and a couple other guys, we run Boss Alliance. We're currently part of the B2 Coalition, and we spend a lot of our time blopsing on Fraternity, Horde, those groups out of Venal and Geminate, mainly sticking around in NPC space.
Awesome, yeah, so... Take me back, though, into the Wayback Machine here, and we'll kind of lead back up to what you're doing now and FanFest and everything, but let's go all the way back. What got you into EVE, and when was that? What year was that?
Yeah, so I first started playing EVE, I think I was still in, middle school, early on in high school. Some of my real-life friends loved outer space and Star Wars and Star Trek, and they were like, oh, we gotta try this game called EVE. It has spaceships. So I started playing it, and my first go-around as not even, 16 years old, I was flying around in low sec doing a little bit of piracy, things like that. Took a break for a long time, college, all that, and then started playing again and joined up with a group that ended up in Boss Alliance. We were in Nullsec at the time over in Fountain, moved to Teenal, spent a lot of time there. That was one of my first kind of opportunities, FCing and being part of what was a Sov holding alliance. And then from there's a lot of up and downs, but ended up reforming Boss Alliance a couple years ago. Moving out to MPC, Nullsec, and Venal. And yeah, this is our, I guess, fourth year doing that. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's epic, dude. So are you a leader in currently running that as the leader of Boss right now? Is that correct?
right now I'm the boss of Boss. but yeah, the last couple years, ever since we decided to sort of leave Sov, Nullsec, we were kind of sick and tired of all the blues and kind of the bureaucracy and politics behind it. And we were like, we just want to undock and go PvP, whether that's small gangs, mid-sized fleets, a lot of blop stuff. We were kind of sick and tired of having to travel, 20 jumps to get somewhere. And Venal was kind of the perfect place at the time. When we moved there, Vale and Tribute were kind of like Fight Club regions. A lot of smaller groups were there. Toilet Paper, Rote Capel, Forsaken Empire, a couple groups like that. We had all of Fraternity over in Droneland. And then, of course, Fraternity and some of their renters living in Teenal and Branch. So it was content all the way around and just a good place for us to kind of regroup and rebuild and kind of start what I think now is the most successful phase that I've ever seen Boss Alliance be in.
Awesome. No, that sounds like you've gotten out of the sovereignty holding game and just much more into just focused on doing the PvP, being not pirates because you're not really, you know, right. doing it in LoSec, but you're primarily, you know, pillaging 0.0 as, you know, the 0.0 pirates. And is that kind of how it, do you have any kind of like theme that you guys kind of have for boss? I mean, we all know the name, we all know the fist, but is what if you needed to sum boss up in like, you know, two sentences, what, how would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the phrases that, you know, our founder sort of said, Argus, was we're not elitist, we're just tired of fail. So, you know, we always, wherever we were, whether that was part of a coalition, when our main corp was in Test Alliance, like, we kind of always had our own identity. And Boss Alliance just embraces that identity that we have, which is, you know, just going out there, having fun with a good group of people and, you know, trying our best to get some good kill mails.
Awesome. So are you primarily, your focus is on 0.0. Is there a specific, are you guys in a specific area of 0.0 that you confide yourself to, or do you go everywhere through the wormhole system?
Yeah, so Venal is kind of like our main base of operations. We have access to a lot of the burner missions and LP ISK making in Venal, and then we've been kind of doing a forward PvP deployment in the NPC region of Geminate, which is an interesting region just because there is a lot of Sov space all around it, both held by Fraternity and Pandemic Horde. So we kind of threw ourselves even closer to the center of the action, allowing us to live within Blop's range of Fraternity, which is like the main group that we've been fighting for many, many years now. But being able to just undock and be in Blop's range of their staging is a really powerful weapon. And then our ability to kind of rally, form fleets, and quickly, you know, act if we tackle something or catch something on intel, that kind of thing.
So have you been using the new Zarz system at all? Zarzak?
Yeah, we have a little bit. Zarzak popped up right in HTAC PA, which was where we had a Fortizar for a very long time. It survived some pretty epic fights over the last year or so between Pandemic Horde and Fraternity, glassing the region of Enel, and then us getting support from groups like Volta, Blob, and Brave.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's, are you looking forward to, are you going to be joining any of the factions that are coming from, the new update that's going to be happening in November? And if you yeah. want to expand on what's going on with the new update, if you're going to get involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the coolest things about FanFest, you know, just the idea of some new ships and I guess some more involvement when it comes to different factions, including some of the pirate factions in on, you know, what's already what's good gameplay between, you know, the different faction warfare. So we are definitely excited about the release of that and seeing how that system kind of opens the door to other areas. I know we're very interested in being, you know, having Venal being our home, the Gristas kind of being our friends. So we're very excited about the alligator ship that's coming out, and honestly just learning how we're gonna, you know, maybe farm and able to get some of that LP so we can start using those ships that seem to be, you know, really, really powerful.
So you're passing up on the Angel Titan to get
No. I know we have guys that are like, well, we can get to Curse just as easily. Like, let's go, you know. But with Zarzak being in Venal and us being able to use it, I mean, I guess we'll kind of go where the content is. I mean, similar with faction warfare, some areas, some zones are a lot hotter than others. So we'll kind of see how that looks and then kind of adapt and figure it out. But it's definitely something that we want to participate in, just being the fact that, you know, Venal is one of the systems that they opened up the Stargate in.
So yeah, I really like that you guys are still like, there's like a almost role play kind of, you know, reasoning behind it. But that's, I like to think of And I would like to get your thoughts on this, of like how much of Eve like just tricks you into role playing.
Right, I know. The joke that we say is like we role play as Garista role players. When we first moved to Venal, we did have like a free port Fortizar that we put there, and it was just to kind of encourage people to come out to NPC Nullsec, because most people, when they think of Nullsec, it's like, oh, I got to join a group that owns Sov. Like if I don't join a group that owns Sov, like I'm not going to be able to make Isk. I'm not going to be able to have the same kind of PvP and things like that. So we kind of embrace the idea of the Garista pirate being like, you know, the identity of us. You know, we can live here and we can, you know, go out and pirate and raid and do fleet and kind of a lot of the hit and run tactics that are involved in Blopsing, we felt like kind of embraced the Garistas as a faction.
Yeah, I mean, that's I really like, because we've got like the Federation frontline report, you know, kind of like theme that we're going with, of being the Galente, you know, reporters on the field with a gun, you know, and yeah. And deep in the bowels of this war that's going on. And it's something that's kind of always drawn me back to faction warfare, no matter how much I go up to 0.0 and stuff. There's this epic forever war that's happening down here that can, it's not heavy role play, you know, it just is, it, you know, just fit the theme of what's going on. And we always call ourselves privateers because we're no longer pirates anymore. We've been commissioned by the Galente to murder people. Like, so we can't get into high sex still, but
yeah, that's great.
But yeah, we're more on the low sec pirate, like true, you know, kicked. So are you guys are not kicked out of high sec at all, though? You guys can go.
Yeah, we can still access it. I know we did like a low sec sort of deployment over the summer. We were in a Uamon area, but that was mainly for us to have easy access to Ethereum Reach and other Sov systems. But we found ourselves doing some stuff in low sec and kind of for the first time, like, oh yeah, this is a little bit different than null sec. We don't have to worry about dictors and things like that. And there was some fun fights that we had, kind of just poking some of our enemies' structures that they had set up in low sec, kind of provoking some fights, making them come out of their comfort zone of, you know, being able to blob and you know, bring capitals and things like that without, you know, much fear of losing it, and kind of using, you know, low sec as a way to get some fun sort of fleet style PvP.
Yeah, I like the small gang, you know, like 50, 60 man, like you can do a lot in that arena, and people are, you know, the only time that you really have to watch out for when you're dropping capitals and stuff is snuff. And so depending on where you're deployed and stuff like that, you might not even have to worry about that because they only have so much range that they're able to, you know, control. Stay away from Rakapuspus, so.
Funny enough, we actually baited out Snuffed the other night and killed one of their marshals and a couple of their capitals, which was pretty funny, over in Tama, you know, where they're very active. You're Dunked and Cave Iceman and that whole group of Snuff that always hunt, you know, people moving and jump freighters and things like that. We met this one. I don't know if he's a streamer or just a solo guy who sends his dread around. We ended up killing him one night in Gemini and being like, hey, you're a pretty cool dude, like, you should bait for us. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm down for that. And he was just sitting around Tama with his PNI, and you know, he was getting all excited when the Snuff Sino showed up and they brought in a marshal and a couple other redeemers and faxes and all that, and we were able to drop the hammer with our redeemer fleet and had a pretty good fight, kind of, you know, keeping everyone honest.
That's awesome. That's yeah, because sometimes they don't have the super hammer. They only have, you know, the guys that are online at that time that can jump in and do some shit. And then sometimes they have like 50 supers and
oh yeah,
crazy shit like that just waiting, super baiting, you know. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on, you know, what kind of fight that you're going to be getting into with them. And the smaller ones are actually a lot of fun because they do put a lot of bling on the line. But we've also blown the living shit out of that bling. Dreads, carriers, you know, the their black ops ships and stuff can all be worth, like, they bring out, like, Moros, you know, Navy issues sometimes that are worth, like, 17 billion ISK.
Yep.
And if you can just, you know, have a big enough fleet, have the luck on your side that you probably, you know, like, last time that we fought quite hard was when, Frat got dropped by Sedition, and then by Snuff, and then we came back and joined up with Frat, and we were able to, like, our forces combined.
Yeah, I remember that. And, you know, kind of going with what you're saying, like, we've always kind of embraced the idea of, like, fighting outnumbered. I mean, that's kind of been the story of, like, our whole existence, you know, especially when Fraternity was hitting a lot of our structures that we set up in Venal. I mean, we were taking fights outnumbered a lot of the time. And, you know, from then it just comes with some theory crafting, trying to figure out what works, what comps can we take, you know, how much more risk do we want to spend, kind of thing. And then when the new blops changes came out, when they buffed the blops battleships and added the conduit, that was something that we were like, oh yeah, this kind of, you know, is our bread and butter. Like, we're able to mobilize, you know, ships like this and have the ability to conduit and bring people with you. And the buffs that the Redeemer and Widow and all those ships got made them, you know, in our eyes, like, just super powerful.
Epic, man. Yeah. So AFK Agro, thank you so much for the subscription. That's huge. And there was a bunch of followers. I'm not going to go through all of those, but thank you all for your following. And there is a post that was, let's see here. Is it it's unclear what the mutual status of enlisted pirates will be regarding the Empires, unless I'm missing something. My understanding is that they would be probably just one. They would have a war deck, or they would have, all three of them will have a war deck with each other, but it'll be the Angels doing the Mimitar stuff and the Garistas doing the Galente Kaldari war zone. So my understanding is that all three of them will be war decked, and I believe that it's going to be like, you're not, might not be able to go to HiSec, or I don't know if you become like an automatic pirate because you join the Deathless. But I thought I remember that could have been a fever dream though. I know that you'll, you know, like, the gates are fucking deadly now in Zarzak. So Zarzak, I think in the beginning, the first couple of days, the gate guns weren't working, or they weren't there, or something like that. And now they're there, and they do crazy shit to you.
Yeah, I know if you leave, like, the certain area or the radius around the gate is when you just start, you know, instantly getting killed. And I think it's cool that they kind of added this mechanic in, especially, like, when you spawn. Like, you might be 70, 80 kilometers away from some of your other fleet members. So it really helps to make sure that groups aren't, you know, camping it or preventing anyone from using it. So I think that was a much needed and kind of cool concept that CCP created when they added that to this system.
Yeah, it's a very defended superhighway now, it feels like. So you don't really do the combat inside. But the other side of the gate in Losec is no gate guns or anything. So you can fight there. Still, you know, like you said, if you're popping out, you're usually, like, far off of, you know, from each other and stuff like that. It's easy to, like, get, you know, out pretty much. So speaking of all the changes and everything like that, was this your first FanFest?
This was FanFest number 2 for me. And then a lot of the guys that have been in Boss Alliance and our corp, I think some of them, this was their 11th or 12th FanFest,
wow.
Or trip to Iceland. Yeah. I remember when I first joined Boss Alliance, a lot of the guys were all going, and I was like, I'm never going to go to a meetup for a video game I play, like, what? And then after a couple years being with Boss and making the friends that I've made, I went to one of CCP's events at eVegas, So I did that for a few years. We all went to Vegas, went to EVE North up in Toronto, and then yeah, we built a lot of hype around the Iceland trip, and I think we had almost 25 or 30 Boss Alliance members attend, which is like pretty epic in terms of just like the number of overall people we have, and just the fact that, you know, we spend a lot of time on comms together playing this game, doing the best we can. So it's always so much fun when everyone gets to go on a vacation and meet up that you know Iceland is, and you know FanFest being such a fun event.
Yeah, I so this was my first Iceland event. This was your first Iceland event as well, Nightflyer, is that correct?
Yep, first time to Iceland, that was in FanFest. So I've been to Vegas, you know, we did the Summer Swarm, so yeah, but that's it. Just the two real big ones and then a couple of smaller ones. Just local events.
Yeah, this was a real. I go to Gen Con all the time and stuff like that. So this was like way cooler than Gen Con because of how niche it is. It's like, you know, Gen Con's 100,000 gamers, you know, doing, you know, 10,000 different things, you know, or well, maybe like 100,000 different things, which is even crazier, or more actually. There's so many events, so many things that you can do because. And only so much time that you have at Gen Con. Eve felt like I could do a lot of the different... FanFest was something you could go... You could hit up a lot of... You know, almost all of it. If you were kind of diligent. There were sometimes you had to make a decision on what you needed... What you wanted to do during your time at FanFest. But there wasn't... it was very focused and very, you know... This is all the cool stuff that you can do that's Eve. So you went to the pub crawl and did all of... or did you do...
Oh, yeah. We did the pub crawl, the party at the top of the world. I mean, those are always big highlights. And honestly, this year I found myself not going to as many of the actual like Eve talks and stuff as previous years, just because we planned a lot just to do in Reykjavik and around Iceland itself. So sometimes, you know, especially because this was our second time there, a lot of us, we wanted to like, you know, do some of the other tours and things like that in the city just to for one, hang out, and then also, you know, just see some really cool things, like going on the some of the hikes and seeing the glaciers and just some of the beautiful parts about Iceland.
Awesome. Yeah, I found Iceland to be like just really, really cool. I had like it I've been to Hawaii, so like when I came there I was like, oh, this kind of is like a really cold Hawaii, this is kind of like crazy with like these warm springs, like, so we went to the Blue Lagoon, me and my wife, and that was like epic, like it was like cold and nice and warm, like it was there's just so much really cool stuff to do in Iceland. I only got to see the Northern Lights from the bar, but there was a tour that they did for the Northern Lights. Did you go on that, or did you...
Some of our guys did the tour, and they got some pretty phenomenal photos. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see them when I was there, but... I know, that's one of the cool things about it, and we did the Blue Lagoon our first time that we went there, and we also did a snorkeling trip where you swim between the two tectonic plates, which was just so cool to see and kind of experience some of these, you know, like amazing just sights that Iceland has to offer.
And Nightflyer, you got any questions for our guests that you want to go over, maybe about FanFest or...
Like, what were some of your takeaways, or well, first, did you like the keynote speech, and if not, was there any information in that you didn't agree with, or
No, it was nice, like, I don't know, like, especially some of the events, like, when they weren't doing FanFest and they had those events at Eve Vegas and Eve North and some of those other places, I feel like some of the announcements were pretty, like, lackluster. But this one, I think they came prepared with some, like, pretty big changes. Like, everyone, of course, loves when there's new spaceships that are coming out, and I think that these ships that are coming out can play an effect on, like, how people, you know, theory craft and possible doctrines. Maybe we see some larger groups take in some of these new ships as, like, a mainline fleet doctrine. So I think it'll be really cool to kind of see what implications happen there. And then, of course, you know, being able to see how you know, the faction, the new sort of warfare setup is, and how this system's going to work and where you're going to get teleported to and what that combat kind of looks like. I think they're adding, like, a much needed kind of layer to the game, opening up, adding in kind of NullSec into the idea of you know, faction warfare that mainly would always be in LowSec. So I think that that's an exciting sort of gameplay. So I'm definitely looking forward to some of the changes. We'll see about the shooter. I know, I feel like I was at an Eve Vegas once and they were talking about an Eve Online shooter game. So we'll see, you know, how that plays into everything. But I think the changes that they're bringing forth and kind of making Eve a little bit smaller through these new Stargates and this system, I think that will be really cool, because that just adds a whole nother sort of dynamic in everything, allowing groups to get across space, you know, in much shorter amount of time, and seeing, you know, how people are going to start farming and acquiring this new LP.
Yeah, I just used that highway and it saved me 40 jumps, so yeah. I'm liking it so far.
It's awesome.
Any great places to eat in Iceland? Did you come across any hidden gems, anything like that?
Yeah, we went to it was kind of like this little, like, food market. It was called Post House. So it was like 6 or 7 different little restaurants with, like, all these different, like, types of foods and fusions, and they had a coffee shop in there and a bar, and I think we ate there twice because the food was so good. And I was honestly surprised, like, Reykjavik's very expensive, but, like, the food was, like, always worth it. Like, I did not have a bad meal while I was there, and I was kind of a little bit surprised, thinking, oh, they're on an island, like, you know, it's harder to get certain things that, you know, maybe we're accustomed to, but every meal was just so worth it.
No, I agree. That's a good take, too. Like, yeah, it is expensive, but I didn't have a bad meal when I was there, so.
All the food was really good, actually. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about making it over to that food court, and just never did. I said, there's always someplace else.
So. Right, next time.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, I've got my tickets for 2025 already. So, do you already jump on that bandwagon?
I will be getting them soon. Yep, wanted to get had to start paying off the credit card from, you know, all those beers in Iceland. So once I do that, I'll get tickets to next year. But it I definitely plan on going.
It was definitely crazy to have to buy my ticket like right after going to FanFest, and I was like, I thought they were joking, but when we looked it up, I was like. And I think the super early bird is already sold out, so they're already on to, like, the next thing, which is, like, I mean, really, it's been, like, a few weeks now. So definitely it's, you know, as soon as you can, we haven't got the tickets to Iceland yet, which actually we should do that, but that's one of the big, for me, that's a big cost, so.
Yeah.
That was, the tickets themselves were like, okay, we'll bite that cost right now, and then hopefully it doesn't get too, because that's like a year and a half away. Like, we should be able to find some good deals, I feel, like, between this and now.
I think so. You know, they released the tickets out right away because everyone's all hyped up. They all are excited about it. So they're like, all right, well, all the people who were jealous that they didn't go this year, you know, they're seeing all their corpse discords and the photos and all the fun that's being had. So, you know, people got to jump on those tickets early for next time.
Yeah, it's a good marketing decision. I mean, I fell for it immediately.
Yeah.
Did your group find a decent bar or anything to hang out at?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We didn't really have. Oh, we hung out at one of the Irish bars, just because there was some outdoor space. Lebowski's sometimes gets so crowded at night.
Yeah, that was our problem
with
yeah.
everyone. So yeah, we hung out at one of the Irish pubs, and wherever people were going, we were like, all right, I guess we'll, you know, figure it out.
Yeah, I made the mistake. We went into, was it the American bar?
Yeah.
And that was a young crowd. And I don't know, you can see the gray in my beard here, but it was kind of one of those like, this is not my scene. These people are young, way too young and pretty for, you know, my grizzled old body to be hanging around with, so. But yeah, I'm gonna keep looking. That'll be the thing, is to find a place that's got space to hang out and a decent scene. So, but definitely plenty of places to go to.
Yeah, I had it was really just Lebowski's that we kind of hung. Did you go to the karaoke night?
Oh yeah, we were there. A couple of us sang a few songs. That was karaoke is kind of our thing. Even when we've gone to other Eve events, we would like in Eve Vegas, the couple years we went, we would always rent out like a karaoke room and kind of do it as like a boss thing. And we did the same thing when we were in Eve North in Toronto as well. And then like other groups kind of come in and join us, and they remember our karaokeing from Eve Vegas.
Yeah, apparently I had nailed because I got high, and I actually had a lot of people say that, and I remember like what was running through my head right away at the beginning was, why is this guy on crack all of a sudden? Like, because it's supposed to be like, because I got high, because I got, you know, it's like a slow chill kind of song, and it just kept on racing like through what was supposed to be said, and I realized like, you know, towards the middle and pretty much more at the end, that I was like, that's because this is karaoke. Like, so yeah. It's got to be really quick. It's because this is like a 6-minute song, because the dude is just like slowly being high throughout the entire song, forgetting even what he's talking about, you know, sometimes. Not really, but so it wasn't until, like, because right away I was going to go in and do a bunch of EVE Online references with Because I Got High instead. But it wasn't until like the very end that I was able to get some Jitta Scammer, Lost My Jump Freighter type, you know, because I got high.
I do remember you singing that song. I was there doing that, so I did see you.
that was awesome. The party at the end of the world. I think that's when I might have saw you, because that's when I got the boss. This is it right here, actually.
Our swag.
Yeah, the that's swag. Right. So you can bottle opener and bludgeoning device. And
That's high-end merch.
It's high-end
swag. Yeah.
One of our guys, Weems, is his in-game name. He goes very hard on the swag. He does all the coasters that you see around Iceland, the bags with all the goodies in it and stuff. So he was he takes pride in his boss merch. So you know, we make sure that no one's disappointed when they, you know, see the stuff that we're passing out.
That's epic, dude. Because of what you guys were handing out, I saw was really awesome. But I mean, of course, there was a lot of other people too that did similar things. I think you guys were one of the most top notch, like, swag that you could get from people, because like the I got a hug, from what was his name? thought that that was a boss one too.
Insidious?
Yeah. That guy? No, that was okay. So that wasn't boss, was it? Yeah, that was Insidious. Never mind.
Hey, there was some other good gear there too. It's always awesome to see groups repping their stuff and passing out their items.
Yeah, and so now we're inspired to have to do that, you know, at the Madison meetup that we're going to be doing in May, and then also when we get back to FanFest, and it's going to be like, okay, we got to hand out cool ass swag, man. Like, the cooler the swag, the better.
That's right.
So I also want to try and go back a little bit again and just go back into the machine here. And was there anything, any specific events that you took part in where you were like, this is epic? Like, what's going on here? Any crazy stories of what happened back in the day with Boss?
Yeah, there was when we were living in Venal, we placed down, we had, I don't know, four or five Fortizars, and we had, like, you know, off and on sort of agreements with some of the groups around us, including Fraternity, and at one point they, you know, were very hellbent on destroying our structures that we had in Venal, even though, you know, there's NPC stations for us to stage out of. You know, it was always nice having some Fortizars and things like that. So we had one in the GVZ system, very close to the Veil the Silent border. So Frat, you know, wanted to secure sort of their surrounding space, which was totally fair. So there was, you know, an armor timer where we were, you know, prepping for. We had a bunch of cruise ravens, some faxes, things like that, kind of ready to take on their forces. And for us, you know, we'd take the fight, but at any moment, you know, a group like that can bring in a bunch of supers and dreads and all that and kind of make it a lot less fun. But a couple hours before the timer, a Sancha incursion spawned in the system. So that prevented them from being able to sino in any capitals. So it sort of forced the fight on a more even terms. So we were able to destroy a lot of their TFIs and had a pretty good brawl. So that was one of the more fun fights that I've been a part of. And then probably the best fight that we had, and I've talked to some CCP employees about this because it's a mechanic that I don't think is really used, like, hardly ever, but it worked so well for us. This was when NCDOT was in Venal, glassing all of our structures, you know, and that was peak Munin meta, RD Munins, just, you know, N+1, that's how you win. So we kind of came up with a strategy to try to save one of our Fortizars. So it was an armor timer. We had a couple super capitals on our fort grid, but we had no intention on using them. The idea was they are able to fit a recloner, and there's a drug that you can take that if you get potted during a fight, you will respawn in the super. So this allowed a lot of friends from all over Eve come to help us, because this was very much so a David versus Goliath kind of story. So we had groups from low sec, groups from, you know, people that we were flying with, you know, years ago, everyone coming out and helping us. And what we did, we just built like 300 Feroxes, put them all in the Fortizar. As Feroxes were dying to Munins, people just reshipped. If they died, they respawned in that system. And we were able to just keep a rapid supply of Feroxes, and we were able to absolutely destroy, you know, so many of the Munins, and we defended that timer. And I meet NCDOT guys at FanFest, and the last 2 years, they're like, God damn it, like, that was brutal. Like, we didn't even think that was, like, something that, you know, you could do. And they were like, how, like, you know, are these guys getting, like, staying in system and getting reshipped so quickly? So it's pretty funny when you hear the perspective that they have of this fight and kind of just using a mechanic that no one really, you know, like, used before. So it was a good way to involve a lot of other groups, keep them on the battlefield, and we were just trading Feroxes for Munins for a couple hours during that fight. So that one is one of the ones we're most proud of, just because, you know, we out theory crafted, you know, NCDOT and PL, who are historically, you know, some of the best at that in all of EVE. So it was nice to get a win like that, and of course hearing from the people who are on the other side of that fight. At FanFest, they're like, oh yeah, they're like, after that fight, we stopped going on the deployment fleets, like, it just wasn't fun, blah, blah, blah. So that was kind of a cool and fun sort of victory that boss had at the time.
That's awesome. Like, that's what EVE is about right there, is finding those, you know, niche mechanics that, you know, people are overlooking and not utilizing, and finding a way to utilize it in a favorable position. I mean, like, do you subscribe to that there are fair fights in EVE?
There can be. I mean, a lot of it is maybe people just not fully understanding what the outcome might be or what the engagement might end up as, but there can be fair fights, I think. Not always, or if you're on the one side of things, I'm sure 99% of the people that we've blopsed on won't say that it was fair. But you know, that's part of the game, and it is sometimes refreshing when you have a even number, a good scrap, and you know, even if you lose, you're like, well, at least, you know, they didn't, you know, bring in 60, 70 more people to ensure a victory. So yeah, there's fair fights sometimes.
I mean, I subscribe to the idea that there are perhaps times when two FCs or two people, you know, or multiple people, or, you know, think that they're gonna win, and you have that moment of two sides clashing with each other because both think that they have an advantage over the right other one, and only a clashing will tell you which one was correct. And then there's, of course, you know, server lag or tie-dye, and then all these other weird factors that can come into the system of what's going on. People just being stupid. Like, you know, the more that you have of people that don't understand what they're doing, you can have, like, 150 people in fleet, and if, like, 50 of them are not understanding what's going on because they just, you know, for whatever reason, don't understand what's going on, that can completely and utterly decimate your fleet, because, you know, you look a lot stronger, and you'll be disorganized, and you'll be wondering why everything is going crazy and stuff like that.
For sure. We experienced that firsthand, you know, when we're blopsing into fraternity staging system, you know, people undocking something blingy and they think just because it's their staging system, you know, that they're safe, or sometimes they're warping, you know, freighters and stuff between structures and they think, oh yeah, this is my staging system, I can warp to this structure, and if they don't look, well, sometimes, you know, a saber bubble comes up out of nowhere and they don't make it all the way to the other side. So we always are trying to capitalize and keeping people honest when playing this game. There shouldn't be, you know, all these super easy shortcuts.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think that everybody's trying to be getting an advantage, you know, no matter what you're trying to do. The only time that I would say that you might be able to get a fair fight is, like, same exact skills that matter, same exact ship, same exact fit, you know. No, you know, now it's your piloting, you know, that, but still you have an advantage, and this game is all about seeking out those advantages. And you were talking about dropping on people that get blops and stuff like that, but that's also another skill that you have to understand, is when are you going to get blops, like, you know, don't engage stuff that you don't want to get blops on. And I subscribe with the philosophy of always take bait, so it doesn't fucking matter. Just, we're all gonna die. That's what you guys came out here to do, right? Is to die. Because sometimes you can catch some really juicy fish I mean, we've had, like, solo carriers dropped on us with the ability to drop, like, a lot better shit on top of it. You know, we've had opportunities of marshals, like, coming out of nowhere to being like, actually, we can gather up another 50 people real quick and just blast this thing into the ground, like...
Oh, for sure. We're one of our philosophies is, you know, we use bombers a lot, and we always say bombers are ammo. So, you know, if it's a drop that we're like, this is bait. Well, sometimes if you throw enough bombers at something, you'll kill it, even though it is bait. And you know, wiping a whole bomber fleet, you know, happens pretty consistently. But it's worth it, you know, when you kill that bait carrier or that bait Varger or what, you know, whatever the case might be.
Yeah, there's it's I like turning the tables on people is one of the main things I like to do in faction warfare when you're doing like I'm gonna be a plexer and it's like I'm actually designed to just fucking kill. And plexing is just what I'm like the timer going down means something in faction warfare for me to just wait here, somebody'll come along and try and murder me, and then I get to try and murder them back. And like I had two tormentors that just came into me just before I got on the show here, and I was like, Fed Navy Comet, two tormentors, I'm gonna die, but I might kill one of them, and I
That's
did,
right.
And I killed one of them, and almost got away after killing the one that I killed, and they left the loot there, so I got 20 million isk from that, got like 20 million isk from my loot, or not 20, I got like. 5 million from my loot, but he had like 20 million isk that he dropped. I was like, all right,
well. a new comet now.
Yeah, exactly. So came out way on top for taking that engagement. But they probably were expecting me to be a scared little, like, you know, PvE, or is this gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna get eaten.
Always good to bait the bait.
Yeah. So is there any specific like shout-outs that you want to give, or is there any specific project that Boss is working on right now that you want to talk about? So this is kind of like a time for you get the spotlight on you, talk about whatever you want to talk about at this time. Shout out to, you know, all your friends that you would like as well.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely shout out to all the guys who help run Boss Alliance. Y'all know who you are. The content creators that we have, the guys who are hunting or spend countless hours, you know, keeping eyes on things and helping us get some of those big targets. So shout out to all the Boss guys that help with that. And in terms of projects, I mean, for us, it's just figuring out ways to just be more effective, more dangerous, you know, better at blobsting, you know, going after some of those hard to kill things, especially, you know, under Horde Supra Umbrella. Just trying to figure out ways to again keep them honest, keep them on their toes, not try to make it you know, easy for them to make all the isk that they're able to make so easily. Same thing with Fraternity, figuring out ways, you know, even in their time zone tactics and things like that work when we're heavily outnumbered. So just perfecting the craft, figuring out ways to keep it going and keep it going well, and also, you know, for us, just providing content to the group that we play with, like, you know, people in our alliance and the friends that fly with us, like, they know sometimes we might sit around on a blops for an hour and nothing might happen, or some nights, you know, you log in, you get to your computer just in time, you undock, you jump to your Sino, and boom, you know, we're killing a super or something. So, you know, just the kind of that consistency, and just us, you know, keep doing what we're doing and fighting the good fight and, you know, taking on as many of the larger groups that we can.
Sweet Nightfly, do you have any last-minute questions before we wrap anything on up here?
When can we see you guys in Faction Warfare fighting with the Glente?
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see what happens with these new changes, and we'll side with the rabbit. We'll go support the Garistas and see what kind of fun we can have there. And I guess we'll see how that gets tied into some of the current faction warfare systems.
I mean, sometimes we might team up together.
That's right.
We
love the drones that the Galente help provide on our Garista warboats.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show. This has been epic. We'll go ahead and get things kind of wrapped on up here. And, you know, if you guys are interested in faction warfare, definitely check out the Federation Frontline Report Corporation in-game, part of the network. Definitely check out Boss if you want to go out and be kicking ass in Venal, and probably joining up with the Garistas here coming up soon. So definitely check them on out. There's a lot of good corporations in there that I'm sure that you can find. Or, you know, maybe you're an epic corporation and you want to maybe try, you know, ask around. I'm sure that you might be able to strike some kind of deal with the Boss.
That's right, for sure. Hit us up. Follow us on Zkill. But thank you, Fallout and Nightflyer. It was great to meet you guys and chat. And next year in Iceland, we'll definitely make sure that we grab some beers together.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Oh, real quick, do you guys have any kind of media outlet that you use, like YouTube or any streamers that you guys have that you want to get me links to, and I can put that in the show notes?
For sure. One of our guys, Swagger a la carte, he makes some awesome blocks videos. So I will, let me pull up his YouTube page, and I'll put it in the Twitch stream. But he makes a lot of the drops and content that we have. He's on and he films, so definitely check that out. He makes some pretty awesome videos.
Sweet, yeah, I just got that link as well there. Definitely hit me up on Discord and just shoot me over those links, and I'll get them into the show notes as well. A place that I can record that, though. We have got our new website now, federationfrontlinereport.com. We're working on bringing over all of our other URLs to that one point. It's going to be kind of a simple website that we've got for you guys, but we're going to build upon it, make it super epic. Definitely check out Declaration of War podcast. Really great old EVE Online mercenary, but they talk about everything. Podcast that was made by Alec, who runs Network and Noir. So oldest podcast, oldest mercenaries, what's not to love. Go check those guys on out. We're now part of the Network Alliance, so if you want to get in on contracts and get paid to kill people, that's what we're here for. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening. Definitely thank you for coming on to the show here, Nem. This has been epic. And have a great night.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, we are free and clear.